Baptist Church of Hammond. But I rarely ever make a rule on my own, but I'm making one this morning. While somebody is ministering to us, whether it's by song or scripture or talking, you shouldn't be taking pictures. I don't care if it's for the yearbook or for the Pope, for the President, or who it's for. You should be put your stupid camera down, get that infernal thing under the pew, and you listen. That's a rule we're without end. If I get voted down, we'll still enforce it. I shouldn't have to, after 25 years, explain to you you're supposed to listen and be blessed rather than go camera taking during the service. Open your Bibles to Proverbs, please. Proverbs. Chapter number 16, the very famous verse number 32. Proverbs 16, the very famous verse number 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. I want you to notice it didn't say he that doesn't get angry. You can't be slow to anger unless you get angry. You can't go come back from where you ain't been. And you can't be slow to anger unless you're on the way. So what God is saying is, you be able to be angry. That's what it means when Ephesians, where it says, be ye angry and sin not. It means the times you ought to get mad. There are times you ought to be angry. But when you do, be sure that you decide when those times are, and your will tells you to get angry, not circumstances. You don't react anger, you act with anger. Anger should never be a reaction. It ought to be an action, a decision made by the one who possesses it. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And here it is, he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. Or if you want to put the verb in there too, he that ruleth his spirit is better than he that taketh the city. Now, last week I preached to you. Sometimes I exhort. This morning I'm going to have split chapel. I want to talk to the males here. That's the men and the males that aren't men. Our country is destitute for men. I hesitate to say this, but I never am so aware of this fact as I am that election time. I mean, it's amazing. It's hard to find a man running for office. Now, you can find a male running for office. Hard to find a man running for office. Our pulpits are destitute for men. Leadership on the part of men is almost extinct. I mean, the average man is led by his wife. And it's not because she is a bossy, dictatorial Jezebel. It's because he's a wimp. Somebody's got to take care of the checkbook. He doesn't. She has to. Somebody's got to take care of seeing the family doesn't go bankrupt. If he doesn't, she has to. Now, this morning I want to talk very frankly and fatherly to the men. I mean the males, pardon me. Now, I want you young ladies to listen to me carefully, because you ought not to settle for anything but a man. Either that, when you get married, have the preacher say, I now pronounce you as male and wife. Man and wife. Now, marry a man. Now, I want to tell you what a man is this morning. I want to talk to you about leadership. Now, fellows, I want you to hang on every word I say. And young ladies, I want you to listen carefully, because this is the kind of fellow you ought not. I would honest to Pete, rather, if our young lady stay single the rest of my life, than have a man I had to claim as a deduction for the IRS. Our nation doesn't have a man in the White House. It has a male who's married to a man. You look at the leaders of nations. When I was a young man your age, we had strong leaders. Marshal Petain, General de Gaulle of France, Winston Churchill of England, even Franklin Roosevelt, who was liberal, but he was a strong leader. Even the Hitlers and Mussolinis, though they were wicked men, they nevertheless were men. They were strong leaders. Were bereft. Would somebody tell me the name of the president of the Baptist Bible Fellowship? Who knows? You know the name of G.B. Vick, who at one time was president of the Baptist Bible Fellowship. I guarantee you not 10 people in this room right now could tell you the name of the president of the Baptist Bible College in Springfield, Missouri. I think I'll ask you that question. How many of you know the name of the president? Don't raise your hand. I may ask you to tell me. Of the Baptist Bible College in Springfield, Missouri. Raise your hand. I see one. What's his name? What? Leland Kennedy. One person out of the hundreds here. Everybody knew who it was when G.B. Vick was president. And by the way, you ask anybody who's chancellor of this college and they'll tell you who he is. Across America. You know why? Because he's a man chancellor of this college. I'm not saying Leland Kennedy is not a man. I don't know him that well. I know him. I preach with him not that well. But I'm saying that the Bob Ketchums, who were nationally known because they were leaders of the JRV, and the Myron Cedar Holmes, who led the Conservative Baptists of America years ago. Who leads the JRV today? Some no name. Who leads the Baptist Bible Fellowship today? Some no name. And the reason is, there's no men, but there hardly any men left. Now I want you to listen to me, fellas, as if it were life and death. I come to an old warrior. His hair is like the snow on the mountain peak. His shoulders are drooped. His brow is furrowed. His hands are palsied. His voice is shaky. And I say, sir, you are not long for this world. I'd like to ask you a question. You've been a leader now for all these years. What was your great accomplishment in leadership? Was it when you killed a bear with your bare hands? Was it when you took those same hands and slew a lion? Was it when you took the 5 stones and the slingshot and felled the mighty Goliath? Was it when you ruled a nation in power? Or was it you conquered cities of the enemies? Or was it the leading of a nation through 2 rebellions, insurrections? What, dear sir, aged one, was your outstanding achievement in leadership? He strokes his beard, thinks a while, and he says, none of these. My great time of leadership was not killing the bear, killing the lion, killing the giant Goliath, leading a nation in 2 revolutions, insurrections, and leading a great nation from the throne of Israel in Jerusalem. No, that wasn't it. He said, the time that I led the best was at the door of a cave. My enemy Saul was sleeping at the door of that cave. In fact, I was running from him at the time because he had tried to look at me, young man, I'm talking to you. He was trying to kill me, and I was running for my life at the time. And there he was, the man who had hurled javelins at me and vowed he'd kill me. There he was. I pulled my sword. I was encouraged to pierce his breast, but I didn't. I just cut a little bit off the skirt of his garment, hem of his garment, and let him live. Then, another time that I did a great job of leading, I think, one of my great leading jobs, was when I was running from Jerusalem when my son Absalom was leading a rebellion against my forces. A little old fellow named Shimei began to curse me, threw rocks and dust and stones at me, and cursed me. My servant Abishai drew his sword and said, "Let me kill him." I said, "No, don't touch him. Don't touch him." And the third was the rebellion itself. I could have killed my son. I could have fought against my son. I could have led the forces. I ask you a question, sir. You said these were your great times of leadership. Whom did you lead, King David? You're right, he says. I led myself. I led myself. If my text is right, and it's the Word of God, so it is, look at me. That means that when you are able to lead yourself, you're performing the greatest act of leadership known to mankind. And if you never learn to lead yourself, you will never be qualified to lead anybody else. All of this room this morning, a young man, you picture yourself leading a congregation. You picture yourself leading a church like First Baptist, leading a school like this. But you'll never in this world lead a church or a school or even a wife for that matter. You'll never until you perform the greatest act of leadership known to man, and that's the act of leading yourself. Saul could lead a nation, then he couldn't lead himself, and the nation fell. Alexander the Great led a nation till he got to where he couldn't lead himself, became a slave to alcohol, and when he couldn't lead himself, he could no longer lead the nation. Solomon could lead an empire till he quit leading himself. When Solomon couldn't lead himself, the empire crumbled. Samson could lead a nation till he couldn't lead himself. When Samson couldn't lead himself in the lap of Delilah, he lost his power to lead nations. Daniel never led a nation, but he led himself. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego never led an army, but they led themselves. Joseph never led an empire, but when Potiphar's wife seduced him, he led himself. Now you listen to me. You will never amount to that much as a leader of men till you lead yourself. Now why is this such an accomplishment? One, your follower doesn't want to be led. Yourself. I say if you try to lead yourself, he is the greatest, greater than Douglas MacArthur in the Far East. Greater than Eisenhower, the European theater. Greater than General Patton. I'm saying greater than General Pershing. I'm saying greater than General Grant or General Lee. Is that leadership where somebody looks in the mirror and says, "I'll lead you"? This is Hyle's statement that I quoted a week or two ago here. She stood in pastor school and said, "In these 50 years we've been married," she could count on the fingers of that right hand the number of days I'd slept in, and I'm talking about past 7 o'clock or past 6 o'clock. In 50 years, less than that many times I slept in. I mean, I've gotten in at 3 o'clock in the morning but didn't sleep in. I've gotten in at 5 o'clock in the morning but didn't sleep in. Now, somebody said to me, "Brother Howes, I wish I had that energy." It's not energy. It's not energy. I've wanted to sleep in time and time and time again. But I decided years ago, I may not can lead multitudes, but there's one fellow that's going to follow me, and his name is Jeff Hale. Secondly, it's such an accomplishment because your follower doesn't want to be led. Secondly, because your follower wants to lead. Not only does your follower not want to be led, yourself not want to be led, but your follower wants to lead you. 3 years ago, I decided to lose weight. I lost 65 pounds. My follower and I have not gotten along since. Last month, I was on an airplane. I wasn't supposed to eat. I don't eat meals on an airplane, but maybe once every 20 meals. I decide when I eat, and I don't eat usually meals. I like the airplane food okay. I like any kind of food. But I wasn't supposed to eat that day. The stewardess came by, and she said, Mr. Hiles, what would you like for lunch? We have three choices. And I said, I'm not eating today. She listed what they had. And my follower said, we'll take one of each. I said, shut up, Hiles. Don't you try that. I said, shut up, Hiles. You'll be my follower. I'll lead you. A few salivary glands are not going to run my life. I'll lead you. Well, the fellow beside me ordered, and she brought him his meal. Right there. I could reach out and touch it. In fact, my follower tried to. Ham, salami, turkey, chicken fajita salad, baby corn, fruit, pecan pie, and hot rolls. We had a terrible fight. The stewardess came by and said, Mr. Hiles, what would you like? And my follower said, everything. All of it. I said, glass of orange juice, please. My follower said, look what the guy's got over there. I looked over and watched the food as it entered his mouth. My follower kept saying, look what he's eating. Look what he's eating. Finally got off the airplane and I had led my follower. And boy, that's a wonderful feeling. I had led my follower. Went to my room. Walked in, stumbled over a whole carton of Reese peanut butter cup. And right beside that was a carton of Nutrageous. And Snickers. And Butterfingers. And potato chips. And corn chips. And a carton of Almond Joys. And some popcorn. There were 22 other miscellaneous candy bars and 18 bags of snacks. My follower said, we're going to have a time. I said, shut up. Hush. Hush! We ate a box of raisins. I'm an idiot. Now, you saying with the house, that means you never eat a Reese's peanut butter cup? No, I've eaten 55,647,916 of them. But I decide when to eat a Reese's peanut butter cup. My salivary glands don't decide. And my stomach doesn't decide. I'm not saying whether it's right to be heavy or skinny. I'm not saying that. I'm saying if you decide to get fat, then you decide to get fat. And don't let your flesh decide to get fat. I'm trying to say, America, listen to me, is bereft of men who can lead themselves. We can't lead our glands. I said, the reason it's such an accomplishment is because your follower does not want to be led. Second, I said, because your follower wants to lead. Third, it's an accomplishment because you don't want to lead your follower. Hey, you preacher boys, this is not what you had in mind for your life. You had in mind leading a deacon board. You had in mind leading a great congregation of people. But I'll tell you one thing, you'll fall flat on your cocky face. It may be pretty and cute, but you'll fall flat on your cocky face in leading people till you learn to lead the guy you shave in the mirror every morning. Yes, said David, I killed Goliath, but that wasn't as hard as restraining myself to get back at King Saul.
Yes, said David, I killed a bear, I led a kingdom, I ruled a throne, I led a nation through two rebellions and revolts. Revolution, yes, yes I did. But my great leadership was when I led myself not to retaliate against Sinai. And my great leadership was when I did not retaliate against my son. Man, what do you do if you can't walk out of here on the National Honor Society? If you can't walk out of here graduating some cum laude? If you can't walk out of here graduating with honors? If you can't walk out of here with a straight average? If you can't walk out of here a brilliant mind? You walk out of here a man. I say man. The test of your manhood is, can you lead yourself?
The house. You lead the largest church in America. Is that your greatest leadership accomplishment? No, sir. When I was a junior high lad, was elected president of the 800 students of our senior class, and was asked and commanded by the principal and activities director to lead the conga line and with the secretary of the class dance as a couple. Ballroom dancing on the floor of the gymnasium of Bowstore Junior High School, and I wanted to do it, and myself said, what's wrong with that? And I said, you know what's wrong with that? And myself said, it's just one time, it won't last but 5 minutes. I said, you know what's wrong with that? I looked in the face of our activities director and the principal, and I said, Jesus would not have me to dance. I don't believe it's right. I'm saying that is a higher victory and a greater bit of leadership than leading the biggest church in America is. And until you can do that kind of leadership, you will not lead people. And I had my senior day, and you know all these stories. I won't go through them. When my buddy, my best friend, and his girlfriend, and my date wanted to go to a movie on a Sunday night. I wanted to go to a nightclub first, and then a movie. And I called the girlfriend's mother and father and said, I'm no longer responsible for Peggy. They're going to a movie. I'm going to church because it's on Sunday night. I led myself. I didn't let some pretty little girl lead me. I didn't let some Chanel number 5 lead me. I didn't let some little smooth skin lead me. I didn't let a pretty figure lead me. I led me. You call that being a man, pipsqueak. You call that being a man, wimp. You little wimps that break the rules. You little wimps that can't keep your hands off of her. You little sissy. Oh, you may have a bicep that's 17 inches around, but you haven't got guts that are 2 inches around. Lead yourself. I said lead yourself. My Uncle Harvey offered me enough interest in his business to make me worth $250,000, and that'd be $2.5 million today. If I took that $250,000 and invested it, that could have made me probably $5 million today, and I could be worth $5 million today. But he said, you got to go to Southwestern Seminary and get a doctor's degree. And I said, what's wrong with that? I'll still believe the Bible. I can send that money to missions. I can take that money and build churches all over the mission field. I can start churches all over the churchless places in America with that money. But I said to myself, you know that's not right. You can rationalize all you want to. You know it's not right to sell your soul for $250,000. Now you sit still. I'll decide what we do. And I had a chance to become a Southern Baptist leader. Just to set out a little bit. When I went to Hammond, came to Hammond. We just had a mayoral election. When I came to Hammond, the mayor of the city was on our board at First Baptist Church in Hammond. Richest men in town attended our church. They wanted to buy me off. You can't buy men off. Denominations can't buy men off. Money can't buy men off. Popularity can't buy men off. Fame can't buy men off. Men aren't for sale. I said, men aren't for sale. I said, men aren't for sale. Those graduates across the country
building great works for God. Did not come from you little you bodybuilders. You Arnold Schwarzeneggers. You cute, pretty playboys. You boys that are shooting baskets while the other guys are out on bus routes. You're busy flirting with your girlfriend, trying to get her to go off the campus and go to a dirty movie with you, while the other guys are out there doing the job for God. The great leaders in America today who sat in these pews are men who lead men because while they were in house letters from college, they performed the greatest leadership known to mankind. They led themselves.
That's why you need to be in college. College is those years of that time of your life where you don't have anybody to follow you. And you're learning how to lead yourself. That young male, and notice I'm saying male and not man, that young male who cannot control his temper will never be a great leader. But I've just got a hot temper. You listen to me, wimpo. You don't have any hotter temper than anybody else does. You just aren't a man. I said, you just aren't a man. Well, that's my weakness. Well, but by cracky, make it your strength. My Bible says there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. Hear me now. My Bible says there is no temptation taking you but such as... I'm tired of hearing young fellow walk in my office and say, we had sex, but I'm just over sex. Shut your cotton-picking, whippish mouth. You're not over sex, you're a normal young man, and the fellow that didn't touch his girlfriend and walk the aisle and place his lips on hers for the first time has as big a sex drive as you do. He just happens to be a man, that's all. He can lead himself. That young male who can't control his literature. You can't control yourself from taking a peek at the Playboy as you look like you're looking for a newspaper on the newsstand. You will never be a leader. You cannot lead yourself. The young males who took two of our girls a few days ago and took them to a movie and all four of them got expelled. I want you to hear me. You fellas that live just inside the rules, why don't you go home? Why don't you go to four-wheel school? Go to liberty! Give me liberty and then he'll give you death. You with your dirty, stinking carcass around the college like this, you're not fit to go to a college like this. Sometime I want to do what Gideon did. I want to just sort of pare this thing down to 300 folks that need business for God, and we'll do something big for God. You little puckers, that takes you more than 3 minutes to comb your hair, you're not right with God. You got lace on your shorts. Why don't you decide to be a man? I'd rather be a man to be pretty. I'd rather be a man to be cute. I'd rather be a man to be popular. I'd rather be a man to have all the girls flocking after me. I'm simply saying, young males, why don't you decide to perform the greatest leadership act known to mankind, and that's the act of leading yourself, and then you'll be qualified to lead somebody else. A young male who loafs on the job when not being watched by the boss will never be a leader. You loafers, you lazy, good for nothing, sorry, shiftless, characterless substitutes for masculinity. You're an imposter. You ought to have a sex change. Get you some gold earrings, get you a skirt, and this first stole around your stupid neck, put some lipstick on.
put some rouge on your face and look like a woman because you're no more a man than Madeline Monroe Harris, a man. Now you listen to me. The pulpits in America are dying because we haven't got any men. White House, the Congress, the Senate, Supreme Court. You wouldn't have all these women running for office if we had some men that run these women. But no woman will let a man run her who can't run himself. That young male who can't stay awake in church will never be a leader. That young male who makes debts he cannot pay will never be a leader. That young male who cannot keep his hands off his girlfriend will never be a leader.
You say, Brother Howard, you don't know that urge.
Want to bet? Now you listen to me. If you can't follow yourself, nobody else is going to follow you. That young male who lives on, who lies on his activity report will never lead anybody else. That young male who cannot say no when punks try to get him to go with him will never be a leader. And you little wimpish punks. I said, you little wimpish punks.
But I just don't agree with the rules of how I was in college. Boy, it took a lot of guts to say that.
Say it to me. Say it to me. Well, come in my office and just say, I don't like the rules of how I was Anderson College. Now, you ain't got the guts to do that. You're trying to impress somebody with your independent mind. You haven't got a broad mind. You got a cracked skull. I'm talking to you wimps here. I'm talking to you rule breakers. I'm talking to you to try to get the girls to get in your car and take them to a movie. I'm talking to you, you good-for-nothing, sorry, little effeminate sissy bitches wimp. I want you to come in. And then you punks who formed the wrong crowd will never be a leader. And that young male that cheats on his schoolwork, lies about his activity report, lies about his upside reading, you'll never be a leader. I'd like to suggest that you become a plumber. That's an honorable profession. Or a garbage collector and jump in the back of the truck yourself. I looked in the mirror this morning in Michigan, about 5 o'clock, turned my electric razor on and shaved myself. I saw a sight. I looked at my hair and I said, nothing good can come out of that. I looked at my eyes and said, they'll never open. I looked at the bags of them and said, put groceries in those. But I saw a man. Greater is he that ruleth his own spirit than he that conquers a nation. The one who controls himself and leads himself. The world is waiting for men. Men who can lead. Men who can lead great crowds. But nobody will ever lead a great crowd until he first performs the greatest achievement of leadership known to mankind. He leads the most rebellious person he knows. He leads a person that does not want to be led.
He leads a person that wants to lead and leads a person he does not want to lead. Until you do that, you can get your degree from Howells Anderson College. You can take your homiletics classes or preaching classes and learn how to preach and become the best orator on the campus. But I tell you what you're going to do. You're going to go out there and pastor, and you're going to pastor a bunch of strong-willed women, some wimpish men. But you're going to have a few, listen to me, you're going to have a few real men in your congregation. And they're going to find you out. A real man can spot you just like that. They're going to find you out. When I came to First Baptist Church in Hammond, my predecessor was as different from me as daylight and dark. He preached in scissor tail coat, striped breeches. I unloosed my tie and let her rip. Different. He was American Baptist. I was independent. His crowd, after he left and after I came, his crowd rebelled against me and tried to vote me out, and he himself came back to Hammond, not to live, but to help them organize the Meadow Lane Baptist Church, still in existence. He helped organize that church with the people who left our church and our split. Through it all, I never led our people away from him. Real men don't build themselves on the shoulders of other people. Making him 6 inches shorter won't grow me an inch. But, though he was my enemy, by the way, after several years, I won into my friendship. Partly by sending him a check every month of retirement when he retired, and his wife still gets it. He's in heaven now, his wife still gets it. But his old dad stayed with me. His dad, Dad Miller, they called him, lived a couple of houses down from the church, one of those houses that we don't own there. He stayed with me. His son helped start the Meadow Lane Church. But Dad Miller, the former pastor's dad, he stuck with me. You know why? Because the guy was a man. I went down to see him. He was sick in bed, looked up. He said, "You know why I've stuck with you, young fella?" I said, "Not exactly." He said, "I stuck with you because you ain't got no rope for a backbone." How about you? How about you? What kind of backbone you got? While you got time, you grab yourself. And before you decide that you're the next Billy Sunday, you better decide that you're going to lead that guy you shave. And in so doing, you'll prepare yourself for others to follow you later. Thank you.